Good morning. Today's Daf Nazir Nun Ches. We're going to be starting right in the middle of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are going to once again go over the Halacha Rav Huna, and we're going over Isurim today. Isurim of Hakafa Nashchata makes perfect sense. So the Isur of Hakafa is not to round off your head. In other words, cut off your payas. So basically look like you have a bowl haircut. So that's one issue in the Torah. That applies to Kohanim. It applies to all Jews as well. The pasuk by Kohen, pasuk by all Jews. And on top of that, there's also another issue as well, which is Hashchata, which we're going to touch on a little bit later on this morning. And that is that you can't take a razor and run it across your face. You can't shave with a razor. The issue of Hashchata applies to men, not to women. The issue of Hakafa applies to men, not to women. Okay, and as I pointed out yesterday, that's unusual. Normally, all the lavim in the Torah are for both men and women. So that's the rule. So like with every rule, there are exceptions, and this be two of the three exceptions. The Mishnah Kedushin tells us that there are three exceptions, three lavim in the Torah that women are not bound by. And so this will be two of the three. The third happens to be that a Kohen, a Bas Kohen is in fact allowed to be Mitam Lemes. But that's not for now. Anyway, how did we get here? So we started the eighth parak of the Masechta yesterday. Eighth parak of the Masechta talked about two Nazirim, where reporting came in from somebody who, as we pointed out yesterday, was sitting far away. And if you go back to yesterday's daf in terms of why it is necessarily that he had to sit far away. But anyway, the reporting came in that one of them was Tamei. So one of them is Tamei, one of them is not, and we don't know which one's which. So then we had the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, the eighth parak yesterday, talked about the complexity now of how do they handle their karbanos. Because now one has two steps and the other one has only but one step. One has two steps where first he has to go and bring karbanos for a nazir tameh, and then he has to bring karbanos for a nazir tahor. The other one only has one step. Where he has to bring karbanos for a nazir tahor, not for nazir tameh. So how do they navigate? So go back to the Mishnah yesterday, the opening Mishnah, and we're all going to see together exactly how they navigate. I'm not going to go through it right now. But as part of that navigation, so what happens now in the second round, where only now one of them has to bring karbanos, so you only bring one set of karbanos. And you make a tanai, and the tanai is very simple. Whoever needs these series of karbanos are good, so this will be applied to that one person. The Gemara yesterday was bothered by a really simple question, which is, wait 1 second. And they're both going to do giluach at that second round? One of them doesn't need to do giluach. One of them already finished it in round number one. So now they're both going to do giluach in that second round? Can't be. Because if they're both going to be doing giluach in that second round, one of them is going to be doing it unnecessarily, and unnecessarily is bad. Because unnecessarily means that he's violating an isser. There's an isser in the Torah of Hakafa. And so how could it be that they're both going to be doing giluach at that second round? So that's a really strong question, and the Gemara struggled. One of the suggestions, the Gemara rejected a suggestion that maybe because they're shaving their whole head, so that's not called hakafa. Because hakafa only means rounding off the head, a bowl haircut. And so if they shave off the whole head, that's not an issue. The Gemara says, I reject that out of hand, because Shmuel's of the position that hakafa is called arosh, is in fact considered hakafa. Even though you shaved off all the head of your hair, that still qualifies as hakafa. And so therefore the Gemara says, I reject that answer out of hand. Or at least Shmuel does. The other suggestion of the Gemara is that maybe the Mishnah is talking about where the Nazir under review is a woman. The Nazir under review is a minor. Okay. Now, if that's the case, so then we're not looking at a lav, and maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Good. So that is all a quick summary of what we did yesterday. And then we started with the statement of Rav Huna. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to go back, I'm going to read the statement of Rav Huna, and that's where we're going to pick it up today. Nun Zayin Amud Beis. About a third of the way down. Am Rav Huna makif es hakatan harehu chayev. So Rav Huna says that if you do a kafa to a katan, you're going to be chayev. Okay. So Rav Huna is of the position that the prohibition in the Torah of cutting off the payos is not only talking about the person whose payos is being cut off, but it's also going on the person giving the haircut as well. Right? There is a makif and there's a nikaf. And just for purposes of grammar, the makif, that's the active. That's the one who's cutting. The nikaf, that's the passive, that's the one who's being cut. And so now as you sit in the barber chair and somebody's cutting off your payos, so now two people are violating the isser. And that is going to be the one giving the haircut and the one getting the haircut. Now as far as the one getting the haircut is concerned, there's another issue that needs to be discussed. We're not going to discuss it today. Okay. Our primary purpose over here is to go through the daf and we're just going to be covering that which our daf discusses. But it's an important discussion, and that is if you're passively sitting in the chair and somebody else is cutting your hair and you're not doing anything, obviously, you know, you should prevent it from happening. But in terms of violating a law in the Torah by you just sitting there, so that's an important discussion. It just happens to be we're not going to discuss it today. Okay, but meanwhile, however, we're focusing right now on the one giving the haircut. So Rav Huna says, Hamakif is a katan harei chayiv. So Rav Huna is the following chiddush. It's a chiddush. And that is that if the person sitting in the chair is not an adult, in other words, he's not a bar chiyuv, but you're giving the haircut, so now you're going to be bound by the iser in the Torah, in which now you're violating the iser of cutting off payas. Even though the payas you happen to be cutting off belongs to a child who himself is not a bar chiyuv. Okay, good. And that is called a chiddush. And that's the halacha Rav Huna. Okay, now, Amar le Rav Adar Bar Ava le Rav Huna vidit chama migalach lehun. So now Rav Adar Bar Ava makes the following observation. If we were there, we would have all made that observation because it was pretty pronounced. And that is that the sons of Rav Huna all had a bowl haircut. Now I say sons over here, I'm talking about the Kitanim, his minor sons. So they all had a bowl haircut. Now, why they went around with a bowl haircut in of itself is a curiosity, and I don't know why it is that they necessarily went around that way. Okay, and I'm not even going to speculate because I simply don't know. But in other words, Rav Huna, this is Rav Adar Bar Ava's challenge to Rav Huna. Wow, I'm really not following you. Meaning that you say that an adult who does a hakafa to a child is in fact going to be chayev. I'm seeing your children with a hakafa haircut. Huh, I'm curious. I see an inconsistency in your position. So Amar Lei Chova. So what Rav Huna does is he says, look, if it was an adult man who gave the haircut, your question would be valid. It happens to have been. It wasn't an adult male who gave the haircut. It was a woman who gave the haircut. And not just any woman, by the way. It happened to have been my wife. My wife cut the hair of my kids, and so therefore it's not a problem. In a moment, we're going to explain why Rav Huna believes it's not a problem. But right now, just to go through the Gemara, we did this yesterday. So, Takbrin Chova Lebane. So Rav Adar Bar Ava said something which he shouldn't have said, which is that, you know, Chova should bury her children. Meaning what Chova is doing seems to be wildly inappropriate, giving her kids a bowl haircut. And I understand that you think it's okay, but in other words, but whatever. He said something that he shouldn't have said. He cursed Rav Huna. He cursed the children. Okay. And Tosus over here points out he didn't mean it as a curse, but doesn't matter. In other words, the words came out of his mouth, as we pointed out yesterday. We should just be careful about every single word that comes out of our mouth. And Kula Shnei de Rav Adar Bar Ava lo ikayim leizar le Rav Huna, and because it was a klala, so it took hold. And while Rav Adar Bar Ava was alive, none of the children of Rav Huna survived. Okay, that part obviously is incredibly unfortunate, but we're just going to go on. We're just going to be focusing right now on the halacha. This is pretty much where we got to yesterday. And so now we're going to try to better understand the positions of Rav Huna and the positions of Rav Adar Bar Ava. Okay, so we know where Rav Huna starts. In other words, the starting point for Rav Huna is that if an adult male were to do hakafa to a child, he'd be chayiv. Because the issur in the Torah is not just on the nikaf, it's also on the makif. Okay, that's Rav Huna's position. Rav Adar Bar Ava now is really struggling because he doesn't understand. Well, if that would be true, so then what's the difference between a male and a female? That's his question. Rav Huna obviously thought of that already, and Rav Huna obviously thought that's not a problem. Okay. So now let's first see the Gemara. So Michti Tavai Svir Akafa Kol Rosh Ma'akafa. So the Gemara says, look, the fact of the matter is that they both are of the position that a kafa is called Rosh, is in fact a kafa. So So the Gemara says, what is really at the source of the machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Adar Bar Ava? Rav Huna Savar, lo sakifa pas roshchem v'lo sashchiz es pas zekancha, kol sheyesh lo hashchata yesh lo hakafa v'hai nashi hol v'lesnu b'hashchata, lesnu nami b'hakafa. So here's Rav Huna's position. And that is that, look, we'll start here. Women are exempt from the iser of hashchata. Now hashchata is a beard, just to make sure we're all clear. Hashchata is on the beard, hakafa is on the head. Okay. The assumptions the Gemara is making right now is that women have sideburns, but women don't have a beard. Okay. I know it's an indelicate discussion, but that's the assumption the Gemara is making. So now, as far as the Isser of Ashchata is concerned, it doesn't apply to women, but it's really N.A. In other words, the Gemara's assumption is it's just simply not applicable. Women don't have beards, so by virtue of the fact that they don't have beards, they're not subject to the Isser of Ashchata. But when I say not subject to the Isser, it's really more of a reality issue of they don't have beards. But the Gemara says, but be that the case, so because they're not included in Hashchata, and Hakafa is found right next to the Isser of Hashchata, so if they're not included in Hashchata, they're not included in Hakafa as well. Okay? Which now means that women can cut their sideburns. But according to Rav Huna, it's more than that. Women are totally mufka. They're totally removed from the Isser altogether. So in other words, according to Rav Huna, women are exempt, more than exempt, excluded from the Isser of Hashchata and excluded from the Isser of Hakafa. Therefore, according to Rav Huna, there would be no problem whatsoever for a woman to cut the hair, to cut off the pants of a man. Now, I say that, but mind you, that there would be a problem because the man obviously is prohibited. Now, so in other words, so let's take out that factor. Let's put in the chair, not a man, but rather a child. So now, according to Rav Huna, everything's good. Meaning the woman in herself is perfectly excluded. And so therefore there'd be no sir for her, neither to have her own sideburns cut off, neither to cut off the sideburns of somebody else. And if that somebody else happens to be somebody who's not a bar chiyuv, so therefore it's going to be fine. That's all the shita of Rav Huna. And Rav Ada Bava Savar Echad Amakiv Echad Nika B'mashma. Rav Ada Bava says that, look, as far as the Isser of the Torah is concerned, the Isser of the Torah is both for the Makif and for the Nikaf. Makif, the one giving. Nikaf, the one receiving. The Itkish makif the Nikaf. And as far as Rav Ada Bava is concerned, so now a hekish is formed between the one giving and the one receiving. Kol hecha de Nikaf mechayev, makif nami mechayev. So the, and anytime the Nikaf is going to be chayev, the makif is himself is going to be chayev. I cut and hold the hu gufe la baronchen hu de mechayev, makif nami la mechayev. Rav Ada Bava is of the position that as long as the one sitting in the chair is a katan, who himself is not a bar chiyuv, so therefore Nikaf and Makif are working on the same plane, and so therefore, just like the one sitting in the chair is not going to be subject to the Isser, the one giving the haircut to said child is also not going to be violating the Isser as well. Meaning, Rav Ada Bava would say that there literally would be no difference between if the one giving the child the haircut is going to be a man, or the one giving the haircut to the child is going to be a woman. Okay. Now, if all this is confusing, it's because it is a little bit confusing. Meaning, let's spend just a moment on the two sides of this debate between Rav Ada Bava and Rav Huna. First, let's start off with Rav Ada Bava. In other words, what he does is he sets the equation at Makif and Nikaf. Whoever is included in the Isser vis-a-vis Nikaf, the one getting the haircut, is also going to be just as true for the Makif, the one giving the haircut. Therefore, according to Rav Ada Bava, if the Nikaf themselves are exempt, the Makif also is going to be exempt as well. Meaning, according to Rav Ada Bava, you have a child sitting in the chair. Who can cut off the child's pass? According to Rav Ada Bava, the answer is going to be anybody. Right? In other words, man, woman, it wouldn't matter. So, and this part's the confusing part, but I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. So when Rav Ada Bava is critical of Rav Huna's children going around with a bowl haircut, so understand, Rav Ada Bava is not expressing his own viewpoint, meaning his criticism is not vis-a-vis his own viewpoint, because according to Rav Ada Bava, there would simply be no problem whatsoever for anybody to give a haircut to the child. And I say haircut, I mean the bowl haircut, the cutting off of the payas. Rav Ada Bava is of the position, Makif and Nikaf are working on the same plane. Once the Nikaf is excluded, i.e. he's a child who's not a bar chiyuv, so now the makif also is going to be excluded as well. And then there would be no segregation between man and woman. In other words, they both would equally be okay to give such a haircut. So when Rav Ada Bava now says to Rav Huna, hey, your children are walking around with a bald haircut, how does that work? It's not according to his own position. His own position would have been totally fine with it. Rav Ada Bava is trying to wrap his head around pun intended. Or is Rav Huna, you, I don't understand. Meaning you're of the position, you disagree with me on this particular point. So if you disagree with me on this particular point, so now I struggle. Meaning how is it that if you can't give your child a haircut, so how could a woman give a child a haircut? Ah. And on that, Rav Huna's counter is that because I have, our fundamental disagreement goes like this. I think a woman is totally excluded from the Isser altogether. Meaning a woman is excluded from Hashchata. A woman is excluded from Hakafa. And so therefore, I'm of the position that if a woman's excluded totally, I don't agree with your equation of Makif Nikaf. I think that a woman is perfectly excluded. Therefore, a woman could give a haircut to a child. In other words, then give a Hakafa haircut to a child because a woman's totally excluded. And the child themselves is not a bar chiyuv. Now, according to Rav Huna, if I took the child out of the chair and replaced it with an adult, male, obviously, Rav Huna would say, now we have a problem. Meaning, and by the way, the problem is not going to be for the woman giving the haircut, meaning that would be, I know it sounds funny, but that would be fine. And again, I'm not, obviously, I'm ignoring right now the negiah issues. Okay, just, whatever, I'm just focusing right now on the haircut. But that would be fine. The problem that would be is that the adult sitting in the chair receiving the haircut, well, Rav Huna will totally acknowledge the fact that there's an issa for both, the one giving the haircut and one getting the haircut. And if the one getting the haircut is getting a bald haircut, obviously, for the adult male sitting in the chair, that would be problematic. Okay. Hopefully, that was a little bit better in terms of understanding the dynamics of the smachlokas between Rav Huna, Rav Ada, Ba'ava. For much more on this topic, I just scratched the surface. I just read the Gemara and just gave a simple play-by-play of what's happening over here, but we didn't even scratch the surface. For much more on this particular topic, you can see Tosos over here. Everything I said is in Tosos and more, meaning Tosos really amplifies and accentuates both positions, the position of Rav Huna and the position of Rav Ada Ba'ava. Tosfos also goes through what he believes is a halachic course in which we should follow, meaning in this machlokas now, who do we follow? We follow like Rav Huna? Do we follow like Rav Ada Ba'ava? Everything is here in Tosfos. It happens to be that we have a daf we have to do today, and so we're going to go on. But at least, however, we have the vocabulary in which to now just discuss it. But we're going to go on. We're in Zayin Amud Beis, and we're three lines from the bottom, and so let's go. Our daf today, in other words, that was all from yesterday. Our daf today now is going to be a really, I was going to say simple and straightforward. Every daf is difficult, but our daf today is going to be simple and straightforward in that what we're going to do is go over some of the most basic discussions regarding esse lo sase, right? Classic discussion in the Gemara. In fact, we've gone over earlier in Masechta Nazir. And so this is going to be a wonderful review. And there's going to be a little bit of cheshbon today, just accounting of if I hold like this, and why didn't I learn it from there? And, you know, your classic back and forth in the Gemara. But in terms of topics for today, esse docha lo sase, that really is going to be the principal discussion in today's daf. The starting point, however, comes from a little bit from left field. Lema hakafa is called a rosh tanaihi. Okay. Now, the Torah's prohibition of hakafa is you're not allowed to round off the corners of your head, meaning a bowl haircut. Okay, think Beatles. Okay, if you have that image in your head. I'm sorry I do. I'm sorry I shared it with everyone, but okay. Anyway, but if you get a bowl haircut, so the Torah prohibits it. Okay, the Komrim, the Galachim of days gone by used to receive such a haircut. The Rambam does associate this particular Isser with Avodah Zarah. Okay. But anyway, today's not Tamei HaMitzvos. Today is learning a Gemara. So now, if instead of rounding off the corners, let's say instead of that you shave off your entire head, so did you violate the Isser? So as we already know, it's a machlokas. Okay, in other words, go back to yesterday's daf, it was a machlokas. And what's going to happen in today's daf? More of the same. But here's what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to be clinical right now. The Gemara now is going to present that I have two brises, I'm going to put them side by side. We're going to see these two brises side by side. And analysis will seem to suggest this is what they're arguing about. That instead of rounding off the corners of your head, you cut off your whole head. I don't mean that. Everyone understands what I mean. You shave off the hair of your entire head. So under those circumstances, did you or did you not violate the Isra of Hakafa? Well, the Gemara is going to suggest it's a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. So, Leima, Hakafa is called Rosh Tanayi, Ditan Rabbanan. So here we go. And for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to call Brisa number one, Brisa number two. Okay? So, Tan Rabban Rosh Matam Alam Lafisha Nemer Lo Sakifa Pas Rosh Hashem. The Pasuk says, Lo Sakifa Pas Rosh Hashem. This is talking about the, I was going to say the Mitzara. Okay? Quick correction. This is talking about a Kohen. Okay. Sorry. This is talking about a Kohen. And Lo Sakifa Pas Rosh Hashem. So why would the Torah tell the Kohen not to cut off the corners of his head? So Yachlav Mitzorah Kain, I would have thought the same thing would be true for Mitzorah, meaning you're a Kohen. You happen to have Tzaras. And so now you conclude your Tzaras. Okay, so here's the conundrum. The conundrum is that I have a razor. The Torah says, okay, here are the instructions of the Torah. Shave. Now for the Mitzorah, by the way, the shaving includes the entire body. Okay, so Kohen now is following the Mitzvah Torah. So he's shaving off all the hair of his entire body. But as he gets to his head, he's wondering to himself, wait one second. I'm going to be shaving off the hair of my head. I'm generally speaking prohibited from doing so. So Yachlav Mitzorah Kain Tamalama Rosho. So therefore the Torah says Rosho. Rosho meaning by the Mitzorah. Meaning the Torah by the Pasuk and Mitzorah says, shave off all the hair of your body. And the Torah says, and I'm going to add to that, Rosho. Vahayam reading the Pasuk in the Torah by Mitzorah. This is Perik Yudalad, Pasuk Tes. And I have my glasses on. So exciting. Vayabi Yama Shavi'i Galechis Kol Sa'aro. Es Rosho Vezikan Oves Gabos Enav. Ves Kol Sa'aro. You know, shave off all the hair of your bodies. Kol Sa'aro. But then the Torah also adds, and your head, and your beard, and your eyebrows. As a curiosity, by the way, we're going to be spending a lot of times with the focus of the Torah on head and on beard. As far as eyebrows are concerned, as far as drushas are concerned, we're ignoring it. Okay. And I have a really good feeling. I just didn't do the due diligence or the research that would bear out that I'm sure Gabos Einav is darshaned. I just happens to be. Our Gemara doesn't do it. Okay. But anyway, the Torah by the Mitzorah says, and your Rosho and your head. So in Brisa number one, so what are we learning together? Kohen, take the razor, shave off all the hair of your body. You're normally prohibited from shaving off the hair on your head. I know, but you're a Mitzorah. And right now it's a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is going to override the Isser. Otherwise known as Esei Doche Lo Sase. That's Brisa number one. V'tan Yidach. Now here we have Brisa number two. Rosha Matam Alam Lefish Nemer Gabi Nazir. Tar Lo Yavar Rosha Yachalaf Nazir Mitzorah Kein Tam Alam Rosha. Now in Brisa number two, it's almost identical to Brisa number one, but with one important difference. And that is in Brisa number two, the lav that we're looking at right now is not the Kohen Mitzorah, but rather Nazir Mitzorah. Nazir. You know, there's an issue in the Torah for the Nazir not to take a razor and put it to his head, otherwise known as shaving your head. Nazir is not allowed to do that. Nazir has to grow out his hair. And so now by the Nazir, here's what the Torah is saying. Nazir, you also happen to be a Mitzorah, and I know that normally you're not allowed to take a razor to your head, but you, Nazir, now, because this is Tzaras, and because you're concluding your Tzaras, take the razor even to your Rosho, even to your head. Okay. So basically, these two Brises are making the same point, but they're addressing two different people. In Brisa number one, the mitzvah's essay of Mitzorah is overriding the lav of a Kohen. In Brisa number two, the mitzvah's essay of Mitzorah is overriding the Nazir. So it's a simple question, and here's what the Gemara is proposing. First, let's ask the question. Why are the two Brises addressing two different people? What's the different? What are the dynamics between Brisa number one versus Brisa number two? That's the question. The Gemara's proposed answer, my lav, Tanaihi. Right? Yeah. So, did I finish reading Brisa number two? I'm sorry. Just a little bit OCD. Let me just go back. I'm going to reread Brisa number two. V'tanya Yidach Lenotan another Brisa. Rosho Matam Olam Efisha Nemer Gabi Nazir Talo Yavar Rosho Yecholaf Nazir Mitzorah Kain Tam Olam Rosho. Good. Okay, that's Brisa number two. So now, my lab Tanaihi. Gemara's proposal, it's a machlokas Tanaihim. Laman damer minazik asever kafas kol rosh lo shma akafa. V'chi asakra lemitche es lo saseh v'aseh. Okay. So, in braisa number two, here's the proposal. The proposal is that, look, here's what you're doing. What you're doing is that you're shaving off your entire, all the hair on your head. Okay. Now that's what's called hakafas kol rosh. And the Gemara is saying is that in braisa number two, that's not considered hakafa. Therefore, when I shave off all the hair of my head, did I violate the Isra in the Torah? According to braisa number two, the answer is no. Oh. So if the answer is no, so then, I'm sorry. Let me go back. In braisa number one, okay, that's better. In braisa number one, we're dressing the Kohen. Why are we dressing the Kohen? Oh, I'll tell you why. This is a proposed answer of the Gemara. Because in braisa number one, we are assuming that a kafa's kol rosh is not considered a kafa. In other words, for you and me, non-Kohanim, so there would be no problem with taking a razor and shaving off all the hair of our head. Because we're not rounding off the corners. That's a kafas kol rosh. And we're assuming that a kafas kol rosh is not considered a kafa. So, vis-a-vis the mitzora for the general population, no problem. Meaning, you're shaving, you're not allowed to shave your head? You are. In other words, according to braisa number one. So if that's in fact true, according to braisa number one, so then why does the Torah have to say the word rosho? Because in braisa number one, it's a kohen. And a Kohen has not only the lav, but also an assay as well. So the Gemara says, "Kasev kafas kol rosh lo shma kafav chiyasa kvar lemidche es lo sase v'asei." Right. In other words, the Kohen has a positive commandment to be kadosh, and so therefore, it now violates asay and lo sase. And v'idach sever kafas kol rosh ma kafav chiyasa kvar lemidche lav greida. And now, in the second brisa. So in the second braisa, it's just a lav. But a kafas kol rosh is in fact considered a lav. And so therefore I need a source in the Torah that tells me that the essay is going to be docha, lo sasei. Okay. So the proposal of the Gemara on the table is that fine distinction between braisa number one and braisa number two. Braisa number one is addressing the Kohen mitzora. Braisa number two is addressing the Nazir mitzora. What's the difference between these two braisas? Why are we addressing two different people? So the Gemara's proposal is that one holds a kafas kol rosh is in fact a kafa, and the other one holds a kafas kol rosh is not considered a kafa. Okay, that's a proposal. And as you know already, right, you see this coming. And that is that the Gemara is going to say, no, I reject the proposal. Amar Rav Dekulei Amar kafas kol rosh lo shma kafa. No, really everyone's of the position that when you shave your entire head, it's not considered a kafa. V'chiyas akra kegon sheikiv v'losov gileach. And what the Torah is telling me is the following, is that... let's say, look, the Mitzvah's instructions are to shave off all the hair of his head. But maybe, how about this? How about where you start off with your peis? First, you shave the corners of your head, and then you shave the rest of your hair. Okay. And maybe what the Bryce is telling me is that if I do that, that would be okay. And look, since if I shaved off all the hair on my head, so that doesn't violate the Torah's prohibition. So if I do it sequentially with first the corners and then the rest of the hair, that would also be fine as well. Gemara says, what? The Gemara says, no. The rule of Reish Lakish. Every time we talk about Esei Docha Lo Saseh, and I may be wrong a couple of places throughout Shas, but I'm generally right. Every time we talk about Esei Docha Lo Saseh, we talk about the rule of Reish Lakish. What is the rule of Reish Lakish? V'amar Reish Lakish kol makam sh'atam osi Esei v'lo Saseh matay yochol l'kayim b'shnei mutav v'im lav yavo Esei v'yitchei lo Saseh. The rule of Reish Lakish is that, yes, it's true, the positive commandment overrides the negative prohibition. That's true, but that's only if it is inevitable. If there's no other pathway to take. If what you can do is fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah and circumvent the lav, of course you want to circumvent the lav and fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah. The only time where the essay is going to trample the lo saseh is where there's no other pathway to take. There's no other route you can go. Okay, good. That's the rule of Reish Lakish, And because that's the rule of Reish Lakish, as a consequence of that, it can't possibly be. Meaning, if I take the position of a kafa's kol rosh is not considered a kafa, and shaving off all the hair of your head does not violate the Torah, and what I could also do is I could do it sequentially. First, I'll cut the pass, and then I'll cut the rest of my hair. Wait 1 second. I just learned that there are two pathways in terms of shaving off all your hair. Either do it all together or do it in steps. Doing it in steps is a lav. Doing it all together is not a lav. Well, then, if I have two ways in which I could do it, one of them violates the Torah and the other one doesn't, and I have the rule of Reish Lakish, well then, of course, I'm going to take the path that doesn't violate the Torah as opposed to the path that does violate the Torah. So the Gemara says it can't be, according to Rava, this was Rava theorized, that if that since it's okay altogether, therefore it'll be okay if I did in steps. And the rule of Reish Lakish says, no, that's ridiculous. No. If doing it all together, it doesn't violate the Torah, and doing the steps does violate the Torah, so then obviously, to perform the mitzvah, you would want to do so without trampling over the law of the Torah. Okay. So the Gemara says, no. Ela dekulayama akafas kol rosh ma'akafa. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, let's go the other way. Okay, I have two brises, and the proposal was they both are of the. I'm sorry. The original proposal was is that the machlokes between the two brises is whether hakafa is called rosh is hakafa or is not hakafa. The Gemara says no. The Gemara attempted to suggest that both brises are of the position hakafa is called rosh is not considered hakafa. The Gemara says that doesn't work. So let's go in the other direction. Let's swing all the way to the other side. Hakafa is called rosh is in fact considered hakafa. Okay, which means when you take the razor, shave all the hair of your head, you're violating the Torah. Okay, that's the starting point. Now I'm on the mokim lakra lemitche lo sase vase lav greater minale. Now, if I am brisa number two, if I'm brisa number one, remember brisa number one is regarding the kohen. So now, by the kohen, there's a lo sase and there's an ase. So now, if that's in fact so, where is my source in the Torah that tells me that ese docha lo sase? That's the Gemara's question. So minali yalef migedilim damakar lo se bashanes v'tanya lo se bashanes hagedilim tasa lacha mehem. So tzitzis, meaning it's pretty much what, you know, man on the street. I don't know if man on the street is the right way to say it, but that's usually what people say. In other words, how do I know ese docha lo sase? The fact that the Torah says that. What you're going to do is that you're going to take your wool strings and you're going to attach it to a linen garment. Okay, and I say attach, by the way, I mean knot it to a linen garment. Normally that would be a violation of shatnez, but the Torah says that this is what you do. You take the wool strings and you attach it to a linen garment. I happen to be oversimplifying right now, but regardless, I want to just stay focused on the back and forth in the Gemara. So, ase docha lo sase, if I'm brisa number one, where the instructions of the mitzvah is directed to the Kohen, well, that the Kohen's got a lav and an asay. So how do I know about asay by itself? Tzitzis. So umanda nafkalei mirosha, my tamalo nafkalei migedilim. Now, if instead of asay docholos asay, I'm learning it from rosha, from the mitzvah, what do I do regarding the pasuk of gedilim? So I'm lechalecha derava hudasa derava ramiksib, and asnuot tzitzis akanaf. Min kenaf psil techeles ksiv tzemru pishim yachtav haketzad tzemru pishim pochim bein beminam bein shalom beminam sharminam beminam pochim shalom beminam bein pochim. And the halacha of Rava, the Rava talks about the universality of wool strings, alternatively linen strings. So they could be put on any baged, as opposed to if I'm using non-wool strings, so they can only be put on a baged of same material. Now, this too, I went over way too quickly and I really oversimplified, but for our purposes right now, that's enough. Meaning, there are other halachas to learn out from the juxtaposition of tzitzis, of shatnez and gedilim tasalach. And in other words, and it doesn't legislate anything regarding esse and lo sase. Okay, fine. So basically, what we have over here is the following. We have a cheshbon. We know that the Torah says ese docha lo sase. We know that in this limited circumstance of mitzora, an ese is going to be docha a lo sase and a lav. Okay. Now, where do I know Esei Docha Lo Sase? So basically, we have in our Gemara two possibilities. One possibility is that we learn from Mitzora, meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that the Mitzora is going to be shaving his head, and the Torah is directing it even to the Nazir. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that no, is that we're learning Esei Docha Lo Sase from Tzitzis. Okay. And then, of course, the classic back and forth in the Gemara, what does each do with the other drasha? Okay.
If you could be Docha Lo Sase together with an
S. Oh, perfect question.
Then why do you need the post for plain Lo Sase?
Hold that question. That's the perfect question. Hold it. The Gemara is going to come back. V'aytana demafik l'rosho l'alav greida dasi ase v'decha es lo sase v'ase minnalan. So now, if I'm learning, like Brisa number two, of Ese Doche Lo Sase, the fact that an Ese is Doche, a Lo Sase, and an Ase, how do I know that from? So Nafkelem is Zikano. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it from Zikano. Remember, in the Pasuk of Mitzorah, the Torah, his instructions are, shave off all the hair of your body, and your head, and your beard. Es Rosho v'es Zikano. So now the Gemara says, so if I'm opting the standard Esei Lo Sase from somewhere else, so how do I know that regarding the Kohen Mitzora, the Esei is going to be overriding the Esei Lo Sase of Kohen? So the Gemara says Zikano. Okay. D'tanya, we have a Braisa. We saw this Braisa earlier in the Masechta. We get to see it again. Zikano matam olam l'fishan emar ofaz zikanam lo yigalecho. Yachalaf Kohen Mitzora kein tam olam zikano. Okay. In other words, the extra Zikano that is included by the Mitzora, we're applying it now to the Kohen. You have two issues with taking that razor and attaching it and rubbing it against your face. Number one, right, Lo Sashchitu. Number two, Kedoshim Tiyu. And yet, as a Mitzora, how do I know that the Mitzvah Mitzora overrides the extra Zikano? Okay. Omanda Mapik Leila Rosho Lasev Lo Sasei Leila Mizikano. The Gemara says, good. That's a wonderful source. When Bryson number one learned it from Rosho, why didn't Bryson number one opt to learn it from Zikano? So the Gemara says, okay, instead of answering your question, let me follow up with another question. Essentially what Rav Chaim asked just moments earlier. And that is that, you know, here's what we all knew going into today's daf, right? Assumptions that are made, givens. An essay is doche lo sase, period. An essay is not going to be doche, a essay lo sase. Meaning if it's battling against both a positive and a negative, then it's not going to override. Okay, we know that. Those are the givens. So the Gemara says, funny. Funny how we have been spending today's daf going over how when you're a Kohen, and you're bound by a lav and an essay of not rounding off the corners of your head and not shaving off the hair on your face. Yet, when you're a Kohen Mitzora, so you do exactly that. Even though it's an essay and lo sase to shave it off. So the Gemara now wants to know, look, your question is, why learn it from Rosh? Why not learn it from Zikano? My counter question is, well, if the Kohen is instructed to, shave off the corners of his head, shave off his beard, well, that is now the mitzvah's essay of Mitzorah violating the Kohen's essay lo sase. I thought in general, the essay is not overriding essay lo sase. So the Gemara says like this, Elami Kohen lo yalfinam malakon shekin lav sheishno sheinu sheva b'kol. So the Gemara says, okay, we're not learning from a Kohen. I'll tell you why we're not learning from a Kohen. Because a Kohen is a lav shein hashava b'kol, meaning his lav is not universal. It's not for everyone. So nazir mikohen nami lo yalav shekin lav shein hashava b'kol. So that's why we're not learning a nazir from a Kohen. Because it's not a lav that applies to everyone. Uman de mukim lav. By the way, it doesn't apply to everybody. What do you mean it doesn't apply to everyone? Meaning the lav of lo sashchito, the lav of Lo Sakifu applies to non-Kohanim as well. So when the Gemara says it's a lav shein hashava b'kol, who's excluded? Women are excluded. 50% of the Jewish population are excluded. So man demukim lahai rosha benazir lamali zikano. So the Gemara says, fine. So So now, by the Kohen Mitzara, so there are two extra words. And again, Gemara just for whatever reason doesn't address Gabos Einav at all. But anyway, so there are two extra words. There's Rosho and Zekano. And now, why Rosho, why Zekano? So basically we're toggling between these two. In other words, the Torah wants to tell us that despite the fact that the Kohen has not only a lav, but a lav essay, he's got that combination, yet the Mitzora, Kohen, is in fact instructed to go ahead and shave. Now, either we learn it from Zekano or we learn it from Rosho, it's one of those two. And the Gemara is just simply saying, okay, once we have that ability to toggle between the two, so if I go with one, why don't I go with the other? Okay, this is classic standard Gemara of just simply cheshbonning. So uman demukim lahai rosha benazir lamili zekano. So if I'm going to be opting with rosha, what do I do with zekano? Mi bai lelechad detanya. The Gemara says I need it for the following. Zekano matam alamar lefisha namar. Ufat zekano lo yalechu yachol afkoim mitzora kin tam alamar zekano. Uminalan debetar detanya. Okay. Really, the truth of the matter is that I should have just skipped those lines because that's not the critical point. The critical point is the following. Ufat zekanam lo yigalechu. The Torah says that you're not allowed to shave. Now, yachol af gilchu b'misparayim yechayev. What if instead of shaving with a razor, you shave with scissors? So tamalomer velo sashchis. The Torah talks about destruction. Ilo sashchi yachol likte b'malakid v'hin yechayev. If the focus is on destroying the hairs on your face, so what if you pull them out? Okay, the Gemara talks about various other tools to use in order to shaving, right? Some translated as a carpenter's plane. Okay, regardless, the point is, if the focus is on destruction, so maybe the destruction will come in the result of just simply pulling it out. So no, it has to be a shaving action. So in other words, basically what we have to do is we have to balance. It has to be giluach, it has to be ashchata. So the Gemara says, Ezu giluach sheish ba ashchata, aviyamar zet ta'ar. And the Gemara says, and you know what that is? That's a razor. The razor is a perfect instrument that both shaves and destroys. Meaning there is no way to possibly get closer to the face while maintaining a shaving action and also be as close to destroying the hair as possible. Razor's the answer. So that means to say that scissors would be fine. Again, we're talking about the beard. We're not talking about the pais. We're not talking about the corners of the head. Meaning that this particular definition of hashchata giluach is only vis-a-vis the zikano, only the beard. So fine. So in other words, I need zikano for another halacha, the drasha that we just quoted. Oman demapik lelahai rosho lalav grei dalamili lemichtav rosho v'lamili lemichtav zikano. So the Gemara, we're finishing off, and the Gemara says that if in fact we're learning it from rosho for just a lav in of itself, so why do I need a zikano? So the Gemara says, because look, what one could generate that an essay is doche just a lav by itself. One could generate that it's doche a lav and an essay. Hilkach shakol hu v'yavo shneim. Kohen minazir lo yalev. The Gemara says no, because we can't learn out kohen from nazir. Shekein yeshu b'sheila. Meaning a nazir has a unique aspect to it. And that is that the Isra of the Nazir can just simply be reversed. The Isra of the Nazir is reversible. A Nazir can get into his Nazirs by making the commitment. It's a Neder. And just simply backing away from it. How do you back away from it? You go to a Chacham and you ask the Chacham, look, I made a Neder and I'd like out of it. And so Nazir can just simply be reversed. So it's a reversible Isra. Obviously, a Kohen is not a reversible Isra. Once you're a Kohen, you're always a Kohen. Additionally, if you are you can't learn that from Kohen because it's not a universal love, meaning that the Isra of Hashchata is not universal. Again, it only applies to 50% of the population. As opposed to a Nazir, Nazir applies to 100% of the population. Everyone and anybody who becomes a Nazir is now bound by the Torah not to take a razor and put it to their head. So, and so the Gemara says, basically now, in other words, the Kohen has a unique aspect, the Nazir has a unique aspect, and that's why I would need a limud by Kohen, and I would need a limud by Nazir as well. and they simply cannot communicate to one another simply because each one of them has unique aspects. Okay, good. Adkan? All right. Admittedly, by the way, that was a tough cheshbon of the Gemara in terms of where exactly I'm learning out Esei Dochalosa Esei. Am I learning out from Nazir? Am I learning out from Cohen? Why can't I learn out from one of the two? Why don't they speak to one another? Okay. But anyway, let's just quickly recap our daf today. We started off by finishing off yesterday's daf, and that is the Rav Huna and his children, who all of them walked around with a bowl haircut. And why? Because Rav Huna's of the position that despite the fact that an adult male cannot cut off the corners of a child, that's Rav Huna's position. Rav Huna says that Hamakif is a cut in Harei Uchayev, but Rav Huna gives an exclusion to a woman. Why? Because according to Rav Huna, a woman is perfectly excluded from the Isser altogether. Okay, that's Shita's Rav Huna. And Rav Huna's position was challenged by Rav Ada Bar Ava, who fundamentally disagrees. And he says that, whatever. And go back to the beginning of today's daf, because admittedly, that was a complicated piece of Gemara in terms of what Rav Ada Bar Ava's position is, what Rav Huna's position is. Rav Ada Bar Ava challenging Rav Huna, but not based on his own position, but trying to understand the internal logic of Rav Huna himself. Good. That was the beginning of today's daf. Really, it's yesterday's daf, but I finished that off. That was number one. Number two, and really the rest of today's daf. And that is that by the Mitzara, he shaves off all the hair of his body, and the Torah gives notable attention to his head and his beard. In other words, take the razor and apply it to your head and to your beard. And the simple question of today's daf is, why would the Torah need to do that for the Mitzara? Once you say Kol Rosho, obviously also your head and also your beard. Why does the Torah do that? The simplest way to answer that question is because generally speaking, you're not allowed to take a razor and apply it to your head and apply it to your beard. That's all. That's really the simple answer. The complexity of today's daf is founded on the following. It's grounded on the following. Number one, if I take a razor and instead of cutting off the corners of your head, you cut off all the hair of your head. Hakafas kol harosh. Did you violate the Isra and the Torah of Hakafa, yes or no? It's a machlokas. What the Gemara tried to do is present two brises and say that the distinction between these two brises is teetering on this very point. Gemara says that was a nice try, but no. Right? That was the beginning of today's daf, and the Gemara just simply said no. What is the difference between brisa number one and brisa number two? And that is the balance of today's daf. It really just turns into a discussion of where do I generate the principle of esei dochalos asei? That is the basic, that's a basic tenet, that a positive overrides a negative, but where do I learn that from? And the Gemara says that's really what these brises are cheshbening out. In terms of, do I learn it from Nazir? Do I learn it from Cohen? Do I need a pasuk for both? Right? By the Cohen also, it's an essay and a los essay. And so the Gemara just went over the back and forth in terms of where all these rules are going to be generated from. When all is said and done, the rules are really clear. And essay is docha los essay. Remember, right? One of the takeaway points of today's daf, the rule of Reish Lakish, that's only if there is no way to circumvent the lav. If, however, you can fulfill the mitzvah's essay and circumvent the lav, obviously you want to circumvent the lav because essay dochalosa essay, but not when there's another avenue, which, by the way, goes without saying, but I'll say it, meaning that what Reish Lakish is saying is that, look, yes, the essay overrides the losa essay, but that's a dechia. In other words, that's just basically when your hands are tied and you have no other choice. But if your hands aren't tied and there's another choice, then obviously, you want to not violate the law sase if there's another avenue you can go down. Good. That's number one. And then the other assertion of today's daf is that when on one side you have the essay, on the other side you have an essay and law sase, then it's too much. In other words, then the essay is not going to be overriding the essay and law sase. Notable exception to the Kohen Mitzora. The Kohen is bound by to not cut off the corners of his head and to not shave off the hair on his face. He's bound by an essay and a los essay. So the Gemara says, okay, this is called an exception to the rule. Here, the Mitzora Kohen is required to shave. But that's the exception, that's not the rule. Okay, those are your takeaway points from today. Adkan.